When Scott and Kimberly Hahn published their conversion memoir in 1993, few could have predicted its seismic impact. This unassuming account of their journey from anti-Catholic Presbyterian leaders to devout Catholics would sell over 500,000 copies and inspire countless conversions. What made their story so compelling wasn't just the theological arguments, but the raw human drama of a marriage nearly torn apart by spiritual seeking. Their narrative resonated deeply because it approached ancient theological divides through the intimate lens of a relationship in crisis. As Archbishop Fulton Sheen once observed, millions of Americans hate what they mistakenly believe the Catholic Church to be, and the Hahn story exemplifies this insight with startling clarity. Their personal detective story would become, in theologian Peter Kreeft's words, one of the most significant conversion stories of our time. Scott's spiritual journey began as a troubled teen until a young life leader transformed him into a passionate, anti-Catholic Bible student. Kimberly maintained a personal commitment to Christ from seventh grade. They met at Grove City College, where Scott, immersed in covenant theology, essentially interrogated Kimberly about her beliefs before dating. After marrying in 1979, they entered Gordon Conwell Seminary as committed evangelical Reformed Christians, with Scott so staunchly anti-Catholic, he defended the Westminster Confession's position that the Pope was the Antichrist. The first theological tremor came from Kimberly's ethics project on contraception. Her research revealed that before 1930, all Christian churches opposed it, yet now only the Catholic Church maintained this teaching that the Reformers had originally upheld. "I felt betrayed by the Reformers," Scott later wrote. This crack widened when Scott's study group realized justification wasn't merely a legal transaction, but established believers as God's actual children through an ontological change. Most shockingly, Scott discovered through careful exegesis that Paul never taught justification by faith alone, the cornerstone of the Reformation. As Scott began pastoring in Virginia, his congregation embraced covenant theology and weekly communion. His theological earthquake came from Jesus' words in John 6 about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Scott realized this couldn't be symbolic. The Jews wouldn't have been scandalized by a symbol, and Jesus never clarified, despite losing followers over this teaching. Further tremors occurred when a student challenged him on sola scriptura, asking where scripture itself teaches that scripture alone is our authority. Consulting theologians, Scott discovered this principle couldn't be demonstrated from scripture. One admitted it was a theological presupposition, our starting point rather than a proven conclusion. This, combined with 1 Timothy 3:15, calling the church the pillar and foundation of truth, deeply unsettled him. Despite being offered a seminary dean position, Scott declined, telling Kimberly, "I want to know I am teaching the truth, for someday I will stand before Christ and give an account." The pivotal moment came with Dr. John Gerstner, a Harvard-trained Calvinist theologian who couldn't provide compelling arguments for sola scriptura and admitted Protestants have only a fallible collection of infallible documents. Scott realized, then it must be the Bible and the church, both or neither. While Scott journeyed toward Rome, Kimberly watched in horror as their theological foundation crumbled. She felt betrayed when Scott's friend Jerry found scriptural support for Catholic doctrines instead of opposing them. When Scott announced his decision to join the Catholic Church at Easter 1986, Kimberly wrote in her journal, "Lord, to whom can I go about my deep hurt?" adding sarcastically, "And don't tell me Mary and the saints." The Easter Vigil Mass where Scott was received became the worst night of my life. Communion transformed from their symbol of unity to one of division. Former friends became distant, treating Scott like someone who had committed an unthinkable betrayal. Kimberly described the following years as the winter of my soul, a joyless period lasting nearly 5 years. A conversation with her father proved pivotal when he challenged her, "Jesus Christ is either Lord of your entire life or he isn't Lord at all." After 30 days of prayer, she found freedom to explore her faith with joy. Suffering drew Kimberly closer to God after miscarrying two babies in 1989. Mother Teresa's view that sufferings are God's gentle caresses resonated deeply. Heaven became more tangible as she longed to reunite with her children. When her daughter Hannah developed a dangerous fever, Kimberly applied painful cold cloths to heal her. As Hannah cried, "Mommy," Kimberly heard God say, "I have caused you pain to heal you, to draw you to myself," a moment of profound spiritual healing. A breakthrough came when a friend directed her to Revelation 12:17, describing the dragon warring against the rest of her offspring. This revelation showed Kimberly that Mary was spiritually her mother, a warrior maiden who does battle through her motherhood, helping bridge a major theological gap. Meanwhile, Scott's recorded conversion story thrust him into the national Catholic spotlight. The path to Franciscan University opened when Dr. Alan Schreck invited Scott to interview for a theology position, and Father Michael Scanlon offered not just employment, but understanding about Marian doctrines. Scott accepted the position at Franciscan University, but the most profound moment came when Kimberly announced her decision to enter the Catholic Church. Divine providence revealed itself beautifully. For 2 years, Scott had secretly carried a relic of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and prayed for his wife's conversion. When Kimberly independently discovered the saint's biography and chose her as her confirmation patron, Scott recognized God's hand at work. The Easter Vigil marked their journey's culmination. During Mass, Kimberly passed Scott a note. "Dearest Scott, I am so thankful for you and for forging this path for us. I love you. K." Their first shared Eucharist represented the fulfillment of years of prayer and study, bringing complete unity to their marriage. 6 weeks later, Kimberly watched their eldest son make his first communion with overwhelming joy. Their move to Steubenville brought restored unity, renewed ministry, and a refreshed family, with Kimberly treasuring Scott's growth as both spiritual leader and educator. The Hans story transcends theological debates, showing how faith transforms family life. Their ministry expanded through radical hospitality, hosting hundreds of visitors yearly, leading inclusive Bible studies, and developing a tape ministry reaching thousands. Catholic traditions enriched their family, with regular confession providing grace and nearly daily Eucharist anchoring their spiritual rhythm. Despite managing restless toddlers during Mass, they prioritized bringing their children into Jesus's presence, always concluding with their holy huddle, a family prayer of thanksgiving. What began as intellectual inquiry became a journey home to a faith both ancient and ever new. In finding the Catholic Church, the Hans discovered not merely theological answers, but a family table where heaven and earth meet in the Eucharist. Their invitation extends to all seekers. Come home to Christ's Church, supper's waiting, and the Savior's calling.